Hello, this is Liz Wendling, and welcome to my audio masterclass on updating your outdated sales approach, language, strategies, and process. If you're using the same sales approach, language, strategy, and process from a few short years ago, or you're simply doing what the rest of your industry is doing, it is time to kick up the dust and make a few much-needed changes in the way that you sell in today's evolved marketplace. This masterclass is for professionals who know that they are responsible for selling themselves and their products and services. It's for smart and serious business owners who know they're in complete control and they are totally accountable for what does and doesn't happen in their business. So I want to thank you and acknowledge you for your time and your willingness to take a look at why some of the things that you're currently doing in your sales conversations may not be as effective anymore, and how they may be costing you clients, opportunities, and profits. The fact that you're listening is a clear indication that you're ready to make a few shifts. I always say that you deserve to be compensated for the work that you do. And I want you to think about what would your bottom line look like if you added one or two more sales a week or perhaps a month. How much money would that mean for you? Would it be tens of thousands of dollars, a couple thousands of dollars, or $100,000? There is too much at stake if you keep doing the same thing and expect to produce different results. So my goal is to educate you and inspire you and to get you to start thinking differently so you can produce different results. Because if you want different results and you want to be seen as different from your competitors, then you have to start sounding and behaving differently. You can stand out and sell in a way that causes people to buy from you versus your competition. But you will have to leave behind the outdated, traditional, and old school sales crap behind and be open to learning a new sales language approach and process, one that aligns and syncs up with today's new consumer, a way to sell that is more modern, fresh, and much more effective. Now, I'm not suggesting that you have to dump and destroy everything you're doing and start all over again. Heck no, some things still work. But I am suggesting that it's time to take a look at what no longer works like it used to, and let's replace it with something that does. I'm suggesting that you start to become selective about what parts of your sales language or process could use an update, an overhaul, or in some cases, some things a full-blown burial. Some have no place in a sales conversation, situation, or presentation anymore. The methods that have been taught for the past 3 to 4 decades by all the top sales gurus used to work. They used to work really well, but they don't work that well anymore. They don't work that well because those methods were built for a different time, a different consumer, and for a completely different world when the internet didn't even exist. So your selling process and your sales approach needs to change over time as well. Look, we update a lot of things in our lives. We update our cell phones, our cars, our appliances, sporting equipment, furniture. We update our clothes and our hairstyles. We even update our houses and sometimes even our spouses. Because things that once were cutting edge become outdated and ineffective, and they make you look like you got stuck in the 1980s and 90s style of selling. So today is about out with the old and in with the new. Because the bottom line is this: nothing you do matters if you can't influence and inspire someone to say yes to you. Nothing matters if you're not able to move someone from interested to invested. Every activity, every meeting, every presentation, and every conversation you have will be for nothing if you can't take someone over the finish line and close the business. You shouldn't have to work so hard every day to keep hearing, "Let me think it over. Oh, that sounds too expensive. Thanks, we're all set. Now's not the right time, and call me in a few weeks." Or you may be finding that people are blowing you off, not returning your voicemails and emails. Well, that's a giant neon sign that something is off in your process and it's time to shake things up. Sales are the lifeblood of your business. And if you can sell in a way that allows you to be you, it keeps your authenticity and your unique personality intact, is going to be the key to your success. Selling is one of the most important business skills for you to master. If you're unable to communicate what you do and sell in a way that makes you totally freaking irresistible, you are leaving money on the table, and it doesn't have to be that way. Now, I want to say this. I want to give you a caveat here. You can still sell the same way you always have. You could make no changes at all, and you will still close business. But you will have to be okay with sales crumbs and sales scraps in the future. You will have to work twice as hard, talk to four times as many prospects, and you will have to deal with more rejection than the human body should ever have to. Outdated selling and old school thinking is always going to be available to you. But why not try out a few of the things we're talking about today? Try on a few of them. See if they fit and see if they make sense in your process. Why not see if you can escape the existing broken model and move into a new model of selling? Knowing how to sell gives your business a significant advantage, and not knowing is its greatest liability. So I have one request for you today, is from this moment on, is to keep an open mind and allow me to challenge your current mindset. And if you find yourself thinking, oh, well, that just won't work in my business, or I tried that and it failed, my business is different, or the worst one of all is this, I already know that. I already know that is an opportunity stealer. I already know that means you're resistant to new information and you couldn't possibly learn one new thing. So if you find yourself saying, I already know that, ask yourself, I already know that, but what else can I learn from it? I already know that, but am I implementing that consistently? I already know that, but is there a way to do it better that could create a bigger impact? So please swing the door of your mind to wide open for the next 49 minutes. For those of you who don't know me or have not worked with me, I am Liz Wendling, a business consultant, sales expert, emotional intelligence coach, and an author. I just finished my fifth book called Sell Without Selling Your Soul, and writing is how I get my message out to the world. And as a sales coaching consultant, I teach professionals every day how to stop using outdated sales pitches and language that actually turn people off, and teach them how to start engaging, connecting, and communicating in a more modern, fresh, and updated way, a way where they never have to be pushy, salesy, or aggressive. I show professionals how to sell in a way that not only feels good for them, it feels good for their potential clients. I work with professionals on how to conduct strong, confident, powerful, intentional sales conversations. And I give them the steps and the systems and the support they need to accelerate their results. I enjoy working with professionals who are done talking about change and they're actually ready to create change. My clients were tired of watching their competition grow, and they knew that if they didn't do something sooner rather than later, they were going to fall behind. They would have to play catch up. They knew that they would pay the price either way. And I always say, you pay the price either way. You pay the price to get up-to-date skills and better strategies, or you pay the price of losing business over and over and over because someone who was updated got the business. So I will give you as much as I can in the time that we have, and then a little later, if you feel like you need a little more clarity or you want to ask me a question or you want more information on how to modernize your sales approach, language, and process, we can set up a time to talk, or you can sign up for a sales strategy audit where we dive into what is in the way of your business, what's in the way of you not closing business. So today we're going to talk about the 7 mistakes that send business and clients to the competition. And then stick around throughout our time together. I'm going to pepper in dozens of words and phrases that are super old school and super outdated, and they diminish your credibility and they make you look like you got stuck in the 80s and 90s. And I know that's not the way you want to show up for your potential clients. So let's go. Here are the 7 areas of the sales process that cause missed opportunities and income. The ones that get in the way of a booming business and a big fat bottom line. So I'm going to touch on each one, and then I'll go a bit deeper into some of the other ones. I can't go into depth into all 7 for the sake of time, but the ones that will make the most movement on your bottom line are the ones that I'm going to highlight today. But let me tell you all seven of them and where we're headed for the next 40-something minutes together. So number one is many professionals have a love-hate relationship with sales and selling. Number two, many professionals are doing and saying the same thing as everyone else in their industry, which makes them blend in, not stand out. Number three, is they're failing to follow up or they're using a follow-up method that is ineffective and annoying. Number four, they believe that if they're good at marketing and social media, that they don't need any sales skills, that marketing alone will close business or social media will close business for them. Number five, not doing a good job at connecting and engaging potential clients. They don't know how to connect right from the start, and they opt into talking about superficial small talk that sounds like the 1990s. They wind up talking about the weather or the traffic or what someone is wearing, and that's just way too old to be doing that for the modern consumer. Number six, they're using language that makes it all about them. They're using a lot of I language, saying things like, I would love to meet you. I would like to set up a time. I would like to know more about you. I would like 20 minutes of your time. And number seven is fear of closing the business and asking for the sale. So let's rewind back to number one, the love-hate relationship with sales and selling. Selling gets a bad rap. Many people have a skewed perception of what it means to sell. And selling is a tough concept for many professionals because they've been conditioned to think that selling is wrong and selling is something to be avoided. To them, sales is the most daunting and distasteful part of their business, and they carry around a lot of sales baggage. They declare that they love what they do, but they hate to sell. They hate the only activity that keeps them in business. They actually declare they hate to sell when selling is the only way to stay in business. They think that the normal standards of business integrity and ethics go out the window when it comes to sales, and that you couldn't possibly have a soul or a conscience. Now that mindset and that story is costly and dangerous. So it's time to tell a different story. You can't love what you do but hate to sell and expect to stay in business. You can close sales without it ever feeling uncomfortable. You can sell without feeling like there's something sleazy about it. You can sell without selling your soul. And that's why I wrote that book, because so many people told me that they felt like they were selling out in order to close a sale. That just means you're not doing it right and that there's a better way for you. So stop buying into that old stereotype and create a new belief system. You can be yourself without having to put on an act, use pushy sales techniques, or use trickery to get someone to say yes to you. There's absolutely nothing wrong with selling yourself and your products and services. There's only something wrong with your perception of it, the story that you're telling yourself about sales and selling. If you hate to sell, it means you haven't found a way to sell that feels good to you and fits who you are. Many rockstar professionals use modern, non-sleazy methods to sell themselves and their services. Everyone sells something, and sales are the only way for every business to stay in business. With love, I got to tell you, you got to get over that. You cannot have a love-hate relationship with sales and selling. So I invite you to consider a far more powerful attitude around sales and selling. Think of sales and selling as an attitude of offering. Your role as a professional is to offer your prospects a choice, an option, a possibility, or help them see something available for themselves, whether it's their business, their bottom line, that they didn't see available prior to meeting you or prior to talking to you. You get to share and give your prospects new information or insights and help them see outside the box of their own beliefs. Then they could make a decision on your offer or solution. It's a yes or a no or a not right now. But you are stepping up and you're making an offer. You're having a conversation. You're not going in there and trying to sell them something or trying to close the deal. That is old school. I'm talking about you creating that space where you know you have something of value and you're having a conversation with someone about that value. but you have to be able to move them and touch them and inspire them and influence them to see that there's another possibility and that there is another solution or way for them. So I encourage you to try that new mindset on, because that new mindset paired up with some great skill sets is going to make you a rock star professional. So number two, many professionals are doing and saying what everyone else is doing. These days, I see so many people running their businesses based on what they see other people doing in their industry or what other people are telling them that they should do. Now, this is happening without them doing any type of independent analysis on wondering whether or not something that they're doing is working or even makes sense for their particular business. People do things just because. Well, because that's the way it's done. Because someone told them to do that. Because that's the way the world works. I'm telling you, you have a choice. You've got to step into this choice. Don't believe that you have to work on and dabble in a dozen things at once. It may feel like you're busy and that you're moving the needle in your business, but dabbling in multiple things at once always leads to mediocre results. So the next time someone says to you something like, you need to be doing social media. Oh, you should be on LinkedIn. Oh, you're not on Twitter? You really need to be on Twitter. You have to be using LinkedIn. Oh my God, you don't have video on your site, or you don't use hashtags? You should be on Instagram, or any other well-intended advice like that. I want you to ignore it. Not everybody's business needs to be on every social media platform. You're unique. Your business is unique, and it's up to you to find out what works for you. And when you do, I want you to focus on one or two, maybe even three tactics, and get them humming like a well-oiled machine. Because they have to fit your business, your personality, and your style. They have to feel good when you're doing them. If it's a daunting task, that's your body's way of saying, this isn't working. And after you have one or two systems in place, then you can build on that. Let your competition dabble in trying many things at once instead of mastering a few. This piece alone can change your business. Running around with your hair on fire, trying to do everything, is not the way to build a sustainable business. Number three, failing to follow up or improper follow up. People are using ineffective language that sounds like everyone else, or they don't have a consistent, powerful process for following up after a meeting, which winds up leading to too many follow up calls, too many emails, and people wind up ignoring you. So I'm going to go much deeper into this one in a bit, and I'm going to elaborate and give you some examples. But if you're saying following up, touching base, reaching out and checking in, I want you to get a pen and a paper handy because you're going to want to take some notes. Number four, many professionals are led to believe that if you're good at social media and marketing, you don't need to know how to sell, or that marketing and social media does all the selling for you. They're suggesting that professionals don't need to know how to sell their products and services and their expertise. They don't need to understand the path their potential clients take when buying products and services. This bad guidance is complete nonsense, and it's the contributing factor why so many professionals are struggling to win business and make a great living. Social media and marketing gets you known. It's your sales skills that gets you paid. Social media and marketing only opens the door. Selling is what gets people to pay you for what you do. They are two separate things. And social media and marketing does not close sales. Although I know there's a lot of marketing gurus and social media gurus out there telling you that that's all you need to do to close business. But I don't know one business that posts something on social media and someone calls them and says, hey, I saw your social media post. I'd like to send some money to you. No, you have to have a conversation with people. You have to be able to build trust before someone says yes to you. Unless your entire business is online and you never have to speak to another human being again, then you're different. But if your business requires you to speak to someone, social media and marketing won't do it. You need to know the path that your prospective clients take in order to feel comfortable in buying from you. Even if you pour money into social media and marketing, You have to know how to conduct a powerful and purposeful meeting and conversation or consultation that makes your prospective clients see your value and want to choose you over the competition. So the next time someone tells you that you don't need to sell, kick them in the shins and run like heck in the other direction. It is not true. Every business stays in business because someone is closing business. Someone is buying what they're selling, not because someone is good at social media. Number five, many professionals are not doing a real good job at connecting and engaging, and they're not coming across as real and human in their prospecting attempts or conversations. Their connection piece is weak. And what winds up happening is people send emails that are nothing more than a cold call. They sound like a cold call. These same people are the people who wouldn't dream of picking up the phone and actually doing a cold call, but they have no problem tapping out an email that sounds just like a cold call. And I'm going to give you some examples and more on that in a bit. If you are sending emails that sound like the examples I'm going to give you, you are in the right place because you're going to have to make a change in the way that you're connecting with people. You have to remember, people are getting emails that sound the same as everyone else in your industry and all over the world. It's time to update your outdated email strategies. All right, moving on to number six. Is many professionals make it all about them. They say things like, I would love to schedule a time to connect. I would love to find out more about your business. I would love to see if I can do a demo or show you what I'm up to these days. If you say things like, I would love to, I would like to, I would like to schedule some time, and then make a request to someone, I want you to stop that because it comes across self-centered. And it's all about you and what you want, not the other person. That is not collaborative. When you say to someone, I would love to set up an appointment with you, that's all about you. That's what you would love to do. It isn't collaborative. So it's about making it about them. Bring them into the conversation and ask them if they are open to sitting down and meeting with you. Don't tell somebody what you would like to do because that makes them resist you. That makes them see you as a self-centered, typical old-school salesperson. And again, I know you don't want to look like that, so you've got to watch your emails and your voicemails and how you communicate with people and see how many times you say, I would love to, or I would like that, or I would love to schedule some time. Any variation of that makes you sound old-school. So in a little bit, I'll combine number five and number six and give you some examples. All right, touching on number seven, closing in here. Fear of closing the business and asking for the sale. If there's one thing that affects your bottom line, it's the fear of asking for the sale. Asking for and closing the business is the most circumvented component of the sales process and the most avoided. Professionals know they have to ask, but the fear they have around that stops them dead in their tracks. They know better, but often skip this step because of how it makes them feel. They're so consumed with how they feel when they have to ask for the sale and gain a commitment that they don't even consider how the prospect feels. So while you're busy or they're busy thinking about themselves and how anxious they are, they never give a thought to how tense or awkward the potential client feels. It's your job, if it's the right fit, to ask for the business. The client is expecting you to do that. Not everybody leaps over the table and says, let's get going. You have to be comfortable with asking someone if it's right for the business. So not making an attempt to close or asking for the business may cause the client to doubt you and your services. You send a silent and powerful message that indicates that you might not be the strongest and best choice. Prospective clients can't agree to work with you if you never ask them. Not asking for the sale, especially if someone is a good prospect, is awkward. Most people need you. They need you to help them in their decision-making process and move them into a decision. And whether that decision is a yes or a no, or next month or next year, they sometimes need you to give them that little nudge in a way that causes them to take action in one direction or another. So don't think of closing as pushing someone to do business with you. that he or she isn't ready to do. Instead, think of it as nudging them just enough to move him and her out of inertia and taking some sort of action. Yes or no, or some other time, is certainly taking some sort of action. If you don't ask, you don't get. All right, now let's get into some examples. Let's rewind back to number 3, failing to follow up or improper follow-up. I know you've been told that you must follow up. The money's in the follow-up. Don't give up until someone says no. Keep touching base until they take out a restraining order out on you. You do that because that's what you were told and that's what everybody else does. But you know all that follow-up isn't working anymore. After you've sent your 3rd, 4th, 5th, or 7th follow-up email, you know it's not working. It makes you uncomfortable. You feel like a pest, and deep down, you know you're just irritating people. But you do it anyway because you don't really know how to follow up properly. You don't know how to follow up in a way that gets people to get back to you. And most follow-up sounds like this. Now, this isn't just a male or female thing. This isn't just the United States or somewhere else in the world. Everyone sounds like this. It sounds like these exact words right out of emails. I was just calling to follow up. I was just checking in to see if you got the proposal I sent you and if you had any questions. I wanted to touch base since I haven't heard from you. I was just reaching out to see if you were still interested, or any variation of those. And I have some sad news for you. Follow up, reaching out, checking in, and touching base no longer work. But I bet you already knew that. And the reason why it doesn't work is because everyone on the planet is doing and saying the same thing. Someone told you to follow up that way, and you never questioned it. You never questioned, I wonder if there's a better way. Is there a more productive way? Maybe a more updated way for me to stay in communication with people I've had conversations with? Or you never asked yourself, am I doing something? Am I saying something in my emails that's causing someone not to feel comfortable in getting back to me? So they disappear, they give you this cold shoulder and the silent treatment. And since everyone is following up the same way, like they have for the last 20 or 30 years, it's lost its power. It worked back in the day, but it doesn't work anymore. The F word, as I like to call it, the follow-up word, is overused, and it's a highly charged word. These days, it means something different to you and your potential clients. So when you say things like, I'm just following up to see if you had any questions, or I wanted to touch base with you if we can set up a time for a meeting or a demo, I was just emailing you to check in and see if you're ready to get started, you're innocently following up, touching base, reaching out, and checking in, but your potential clients are thinking and feeling something entirely different. So here's what potential clients hear. Hi, I'm calling you to push you a bit to see if you're ready to get started so I can get you out of my pipeline. Or, hey, I have a quota to hit this month and I'm 2 days away. Are we doing the deal or what? Or, I'm calling to put a little pressure on you to make a decision and keep the process moving. See, that's their interpretation. I know that's not what you're saying, but that's what they're feeling. That is why people resist getting back to you. See, that type of follow-up is no way to stand out. You're just blending in. You are just blending in with all the other messages in someone's bloated inbox. Your potential client feels the pressure, subtle or blatant, and that is why you get stuck in follow-up hell. The follow-up word doesn't do much to accelerate the process or propel any sale forward. It doesn't make people rush to call you or email you, and that is why so many people have to call or email so many times. Your potential clients don't respond well to that kind of pressure, even if it's understated. They do, however, respond to your communication when you engage with them in a different way and your language choices don't make them feel like it's part of your personal agenda and your timeline, not theirs. You see, the follow-up word comes across like you're pushing for the sale, shoving things along, and trying to move things forward at your pace, not the potential client. Your pace, that's the key word. You're triggering negative feelings around a simple word like follow-up. So I challenge all my clients, and I challenge you to stop using the F word. No more follow-up, touching base, reaching out, checking in for 30 days, and watch what happens. I challenge you to find different ways to get in touch with people. So before you send a message with the words follow-up, touching base, checking in, or reaching out, I want you to ask yourself, what can I say in a different way that will influence or impact my potential client's decision to move forward, to take a step and move the process a little more forward? Follow-up, touching base, reaching out and checking in causes people to push back and potentially shut off all communication with you. There's pressure and heaviness in the follow-up word because of the meaning it has taken on over the last few decades. So to them, it means pressure, force, let's get things moving along, let's get this deal done. And to you, it means I'm just staying in touch and I want to stay in front of them. And I get that. So there's two very different meanings for two different people. So oftentimes when I'm doing a workshop, I ask people if they use the F word, and almost every hand goes up. Look, I was guilty too until I know and found another way. So I teach people how to get off autopilot and stop just mindlessly following up, because follow-up is a mindset and a skill set. It's not about mindless and endless follow-up. It's purposeful and intentional follow-up. So it's time to get creative, be different, time to stand out and stop blending in. Don't use the same lazy old school language as your competition. So you can say things like, hi Bob, I wanted to pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago. Or hi Jerry, I wanted to continue our conversation that we started last week. Or hi Jerry, I wanted to continue our conversation where you and I discussed XYZ. Or hi Susan, in our last meeting, you and I talked about ABC. Hi Janine, when we spoke last Tuesday, you and I agreed to do something. There are dozens of ways to reconnect and reengage without using follow-up, touching base, reaching out, and checking in. You will be shocked how quickly people get back to you, but you need to make it your own. If the words follow-up, touching base, reaching out, and checking in did not exist, what would you say? Think of it that way. The next time you sit down to type an email, choose a different word. If they didn't exist, you'd have to come up with something different. So I know you can do this. This is one of my favorite parts to work on with my coaching clients, because together we create a language that fits them, their personality, and it works for their industry. Their words are not the same as everyone else on the planet uses. They're standing out and people are responding to them. So whenever I'm doing a group workshop, someone will always ask this question, how many times should I follow up with someone? How many times do I follow up before giving up? I almost always get that question, but my answer is always the same. If someone is not getting back to you, you need to point the finger back at yourself and ask, why are they resisting my messages? Why are they not getting back to me? What did I do that is making them not feel comfortable in communicating with me? If you had a great conversation with someone and it really felt good for both parties, and then they completely give you the cold shoulder, that's saying something about what you're saying in your emails and your voicemails. So the old saying that there's fortune in the follow-up is true, but there isn't fortune in your follow-up when it's not working. So the bottom line is this, lose the words, follow-up, touching base, reaching out and checking in, and watch what happens. This one is way too big to ignore. So now I want to give you about a dozen words and phrases that I'm going to pepper in right now before we move on to the next segment that make you look old school, make you look outdated, and hopefully never leave your lips again. This obsolete way of conducting business no longer works in this economy. So like I said earlier, it's time to update your outdated language and approach. So here we go. I know you're busy, so I'll be brief. I don't mean to bother you. Sorry for interrupting. I don't mean to impose on your time. Could I take a few minutes of your time? Did I catch you at a good time? Is this a good time to talk? I'm not trying to sell you anything. And here's some of the ones I mentioned earlier. I would love to meet with you. I would love to get together. I would love to learn more about your business and find out more about what you do. I would love to set up a time to meet for 20 minutes. Any variation of those, I want to, I would love to, comes across as self-centered, and it's all about you. I want you to think about the L word. Love is not a very professional word, and there's too many other options to be able to use in an email or a voicemail or a conversation with someone. And I know you don't want to come across as self-centered, so you must take this out. You must stop saying, I would love, I would like, I want. End that today. All right, moving on, and I have about another dozen for you at the end. But the next part is the part I want to combine number 5 and number 6, which was not doing a good job at connecting and engaging by not coming across as real and human, and making your language and process all about you. The way people are using LinkedIn, Facebook, and other social media platforms these days is actually repelling, not attracting prospects in business. The biggest mistake is this. They're dragging in and blending old skills in with new technology. They're using an outdated approach with the tools of the new technology. So people tap out a Facebook, LinkedIn, or social media message that is nothing more than a written cold call. They didn't change their approach. They just changed the way the message was delivered. They went from not picking up the phone to doing it by tapping out an email. So I call it a virtual sales pitch versus doing a phone sales pitch. It's the number one reason why professionals are unable to tap into the value and the power of LinkedIn, Facebook, and social media has to offer. And here's the big reason why. They're tapping out an email with the language everyone else is using. So they're actually sending generic pitches that produce lousy results and actually end up in the trash. I receive dozens of weekly emails via LinkedIn and Facebook that are nothing more than a virtual cold call or virtual sales pitch. They come across needy and desperate, and here's that word again, self-centered. Someone pushing their way into my inbox, selling themselves and their products or services or their ebook or their latest program. They accomplish nothing more than stuffing my already bloated inbox with an unwanted virtual pitch. Now, perk up your ears because I'm going to give you 3 examples of 3 train wrecks. And if your emails sound like any variation of these, it is going to be time to get in there and tweak some things up. So here's the first train wreck. Hi, Tammy. My name is Mark Mitchell. I'm with ABC Corporation, and we're the leading XYZ firm in the U.S. We've worked with venture-backed startups to Fortune 500 companies. We have a different approach to growing companies like yours. We've been in business over 35 years and believe we might be able to help your firm grow. We also believe in being honest, and if we don't think we can help you, we'll be right up front about it. Are you available to chat this week or next to see how we can help your business grow? If so, please pick a time here, and then they insert their calendar link. Like, I'm going to make an appointment with a complete stranger when all they did was talk about themselves in their email. So that was train wreck 1. Here's number 2. Hi, Cindy. I'm Tony Whitehall, an account executive with ABC Systems. We are a leader in safety solutions and have developed the most advanced programs that could make your business a safer place to work. I'd love to schedule a time to get together with you for about 30 minutes and explain some of the more successful programs we've created. Do you have some time next Tuesday or Thursday to meet? Please let me know what day is better for you. Another email all about Tony Whitehall, all about his company. That does not compel me to want to give a sliver of my time to Tony. Okay, final train wreck, number 3. Hi, Tom. I'm Dan Fallon with ABC Company. There is a possibility we can help you lower your costs on A while at the same time free up more cash to accomplish B. I would like to get about 30 minutes of your time and ask you some questions and see if there's a way that I can help your company. And again, another variation of all about Dan Fallon. It's the Dan Fallon Show. Why would somebody schedule a time, book a time with a complete stranger who sent an obvious generic virtual sales pitch? Why would somebody give up even a few moments of their time with someone who wants to be in sales mode? If you're saying and doing things like this, it's because everyone else is doing the same thing or what you've been taught. Please stop. Just because you can download a template off the internet that says, here's the greatest LinkedIn message you can send, doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Think about how it feels to open an email or a message that's all about the sender, not the receiver. You might as well just say this. Hi, the purpose of my email is to sell my shit and make a profit. I have no interest in getting to know you. Just sell something to you. My products and services are the best in the business, and I know that I can help you. That is the fastest way to the delete button. And that is why so many people say that email prospecting is difficult, or they can't get anyone to respond to their emails on any social media platform or email in general. It's because their emails sound like the variation of the three train wrecks I read to you. These annoying tactics and old school methods on social media destroy reputations. They act as a repellent to clients and business. Sending those self-centered, all about you emails that endorse businesses and promote incredible products and services is a perfect example of how not to use LinkedIn, Facebook, and social media. It's a very disrespectful style, and it is super outdated. Prospects have no desire to read emails filled with the details of what you do and how you do it and how great you are. They don't care about you. They care about themselves. They don't care about your company. They care about their company. And finally, they don't care about your products and services. They care about results. So here's what your prospect is thinking as well. This person or company is no different than the rest. They all sound the same, and they all say the same lame things. Do they think their pitch builds trust? Do they believe their virtual sales pitch will compel me to respond? And once a prospect comes to those conclusions, you lose. You're deleted. You've lost your opportunity. So what you say and how you say it must contain insight and interest for the prospect. It has to be around them. It has to speak to their pains, problems, challenges, and issues. So what do you think is going to get a prospect's attention and deliver more impact? A virtual sales pitch that's all about you, your company, and how great you are? Or a powerful email that shows you understand their pains, their problems, their challenges, issues, headaches, and heartaches. You and your business are unique, and you should sound that way. Downloading a template, the same template that everyone else is using, is no way to stand out. See, there is no one-size-fits-all approach. And I can't sit here and tell you what to say because I don't know you. I don't know what you sell, the value you bring, your personality, your style, and your mindset. But I can tell you that when you tap out an email, leave a voicemail, or send a message through social media, and it's all about them, you will pique their interest. It must include a compelling reason why someone would want to take time out of their busy day to chat with you. Now, if you can make some of these shifts around these seven mistakes, you will create more opportunities and win more business. Without a shift in your language and an update of your approach, it's just going to be tough. It's going to be difficult to compete with others in your industry who have already updated. So it's out with the old and in with the new. And it must happen sooner rather than later. So we're heading toward the end, but I have another dozen or so words that should never leave your lips again. But I wanted to touch on this, that one of the biggest things that stops people from shifting their approach and using a different language is that they don't know exactly where to start, and they can't identify what needs to be fixed. They're unsure about what to do and where to start. And the only thing that will produce different results is to change your behaviors and update your language and skills. If you want different results and be seen as different from your competitors, then start behaving differently and start sounding different than your competition. So some of you are probably thinking, I'm too busy. I don't have time to change my language and learn something new. I'm way too swamped, spinning my heels. I'm running around with my hair on fire and I have too much on my plate. I'll put a tourniquet on the massive bleeding in my business and I'll do this when I have more time. Well, these are dangerous and expensive statements to make. And hopefully some others are saying, open the doors, let me in. I do want to change the way I sound. I am sounding like the examples that you provided. And if I'm going to do business and do the sales actions and activities anyway, I'd rather learn how to do it in a way that's right so I can get the results I want. I'd rather get ahead of the competition versus feeling like I'm running behind it. Look, you don't have time to figure this out on your own. It costs you time, energy, and money, and then some more money and more time to spin your wheels and continue to lose sales. So whenever someone says, I don't have the time or money to fix my sales issues, I tell them you're paying for it either way. Every time someone does not buy from you and goes to your competition, it's costing you. Count that as lost income. Fixing the problem is nowhere near the cost of keeping the problem, which, by the way, comes back to you many, many, many times over. You always get your money back. When you invest in new skills, it helps you to be able to attract more clients and close more business. When you spend money, time, and energy and make a commitment in yourself and your business, things start to happen. Free information is great and can give you a lot, but that only gets you so far. It's when you invest in yourself, that's when things really change. So I'm offering my assistance in getting started or refocused, but the ball is in your court. I want to offer you a chance to have a conversation or perhaps work together in the future. If your business is about getting real and getting on with the business of your business and making some necessary changes, it's maybe time to schedule a time to chat. There's too much at stake for not evolving in your business. So you can either schedule a time to chat with me privately and find out what the next move would be, or you can just go to my website and sign up for a sales audit where we look at your process. We dive into what's going on in your business and your process and figure out what's in the way. So you can head on over to Liz at LizWendling.com. So let's finish up with the final dozen taboo words that are old school, outdated, and make you look like you have not evolved with the evolved times. Delete these from your vocabulary. Some of them are so old that I'm really hoping you don't say, but if you are, here's a great chance to bite your tongue and stop saying it. So this is one that is probably about 40 years old, and it goes like this. How about we do Tuesday at 2:30 or Thursday at 3? Which one works for you? This is quite possibly one of the worst offenders. When you box someone into a corner, they don't appreciate that. Here's another. Let me be honest with you, to tell you the truth, and to be frank, which means I haven't been honest, truthful, or frank with you since we started our conversation. What'll it take to earn your business? What's your budget? What keeps you up at night? If I could show you a way to blank, would you blank? If I could get the price down, would you buy today? If you are asking questions that start with if, please stop that today. I think we should start the paperwork. I think you should do this. In my opinion, you need to do this. Here's what I think you need to do. When you inject that into the sales conversation, again, it's all about you. That's not collaborative language. That's all about you. Now I'm saving the worst offender for last. This is for sure 40 years old, and it's called the feel, felt, found technique. And it sounds like this. I understand how you feel. Others have felt that way too, and here is what we found. You are insulting people if you pull out this sentence. Anytime you use the feel, found method, you are insulting people. And again, I know that's not what you want to do. There's no reason that this belongs in your sales conversations. Almost everybody knows this, and it diminishes your credibility as soon as it starts coming out of your mouth. So lose, feel, felt, and found forever. So this is now the end for me, but this could be the beginning for you. I hope our paths cross at some point, either virtually or in person, and I wish you the best of luck. Happy selling. Thank you for your time.